Okay, good chodesh, everyone. The Gemara in Tanis tells us in Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Amar Rav Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bar Shilas. Kishem, just as Mishnichtas Av Mematin Besimcha, just as when Chodesh Av arrives, we lessen our joy. Kach Mishnichtas Adar Marbin Besimcha. So the truth is, I had a totally different shir in mind for tonight, and all of a sudden I had an idea this afternoon, which I'm trying to develop still. But I hope it'll be enough of a shir to put together. I was thinking, what is the simcha of Adar? Everyone wants to know, what's the simcha of Adar? Making chachanas for Purim, it's obviously a very simchadik time. The question is, what is the simcha? What is the simcha that we're trying to increase in the month of Adar? So I think if we just think for a second, where do we look for a definition of simcha? We look in Pirkei Avos. Right, what is simcha? So the Mishnah tells us in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos, Eizahu Ashir Hasamech Bechelka. Brings an interesting pasuk, definitely what to talk about there in terms of the source for that. But that's what the Tana tells us. Eizahu Ashir, who's a rich person? Hasameach b'chelko. So you see that the definition of simcha is a person who's besimcha with his chelek. And I think, we're going to try to develop tonight, that the simcha of Adar is the celebration of a Jewish chelek. Now I have to figure out the chelek of what. But if the whole purpose of Adar is Mishnichtas Adar Marbin Besimcha, and some tzaddikim say that every day of Adar the simcha has to increase. Mishnichtas Adar Marbin, and then each day the joy continues to increase, up to Purim, Shushan Purim, maybe even beyond. So Mishnichtas Adar Marbin Besimcha, what simcha? Eizu Asher Sameach Bechalko. The simcha of Sameach Bechalko increases in Chodesh Adar. The opposite of Sameach Bechalko is Haman HaRasha. Haman is mamish the opposite of Sameach Bechalko. Where do we see that Haman is the antithesis? The very opposite of Sameach Bechalko. The Gemara asks a very interesting question, Maseches Chulin. Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. I promised someone here tonight I wouldn't repeat anything. This is the one thing I'm going to repeat from a shiur earlier this week. Sameach Bechalko, the opposite is Haman. The Gemara says, Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes, where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? Strange question. Why do I need to find a hint to Haman in the Torah? I guess because everything's rooted in the Torah. Everything that's going to happen in history is found already in the five books of Moses. So where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Mordechai in the Torah? The Gemara asks. Kulin kuf lamed tes amud beis. Where is there a hint to Moshe in the Torah? Which is maybe the strangest of all. Because Moshe is the most out. We need a hint to Moshe in the Torah. Moshe's name appears countless times in the Torah. So the Gemara answers, the hint to Haman in the Torah is a pasuk back in Gan Eden. Hamin ha'etz. Hashem says to Adam and Chava, Hamin ha'etz, from the tree that I commanded you not to eat. Is it possible that you ate from that tree? Hey Memnon, Hamin, Haman. Oh, beautiful. Why didn't the Gemara pick a pasuk when it talks about Haman, the man? There's connections. The Sfarim even make connections between Haman and man, the heavenly food that the Jews ate in the wilderness. Right, but what's the pshat? Hamin ha'etz. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler explained in the first volume of the Mishnah Rabbi Aaron on page 103. Rabbi Aaron Cutler said, think about it. What was Haman's problem? Haman is the very opposite of Sameach Bechelko. Haman has 99% of Klal Yisrael collapsing at his feet. And he's going crazy to such a degree that he says, Kol zeh inenu shovali. 50% not impressed, 70% not impressed, 99%. It's not worth anything to me. If I don't get 100%, then I'm not happy. That's mamish the opposite of Sameach Bechelko. Sameach Bechelko means if I have just a little chelik, I have a small thing, and I feel, Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given me a lot. Haman has so much power, so much authority, so many of the Jews at his disposal, but this one Jew, Mordechai, is making him crazy. Kol zeh inenu shovali, I have nothing. Says of Aaron Cutler, that's exactly what happened in Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, Adam and Chava had 99% of everything a person could want. One tree, just leave that one tree alone. And they couldn't control themselves. They needed that one tree. And because of that, they lost everything. So you see that Haman is the very antithesis of this Indian of Sameach Bechalka. Now, of course, Haman is the great descendant of Amalek. And Amalek, of course, is a relative of Esav. Is a grandson of Esav. So let's go back really to the root of Amalek and you see it very clearly. In Parshas Vayishlach, when it's describing the difference between, the conversation really, between Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov says, Yesh li kol, I have everything. What does Esav say? The wicked Esav says, Yesh li rav. Yesh li rav. How do you learn Yesh li rav? So Rashi learns it. We're used to thinking the Kliyakar's pshat. I feel like whenever I say it over, I always automatically say the Kliyakar. What's Rashi's pshat? Rashi's pshat in Yesh li rav, Esav says, Yaakov says, Yesh li kol, I have everything that I need. Exactly what I need. Esav is trying to show off, being the big bal gaiva that he is. And Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have even more than I need. I have more than you, basically is what he's saying. It's interesting. That's very much a midah of Amalek, that gaiva of wanting to show off, to be better than other people. Yesh li rav, I have more than you. It's very amalikdik. It's very much the midah of a malik. Gaiva is very much the expression of a malik. The Svarim say, the Torah warns us, God forbid a person will have a haughty heart, and will come to forget God. What word does the Torah use to describe a person who's elevated, thinks he's better than others? Ram. A person who's ram. A person's ram, levavcha, v'shachachta, s'shem lokecha. Your heart will become elevated, raised up, and you'll forget about God. You'll think you're better than everyone, even God. So the Svarim say that ram, reish mem, is gematria malik. Because a malik's always ram. A malik tries to put themselves out there. They're the first, they're the best. Everyone else is scared of Klai, so they leave Mitzrayim. A malik doesn't care. They come and attack. Gaiva. The Svarim even say, if you take the name a malik, there's a concept in gematria called mispar katan, which means you take every letter, and in gematria you bring it down to the ones column. So for example, the ayin of a malik, 70, becomes 7. The mem of a malik, mem is 40, becomes 4. Lamed, which is 30, becomes 3. And the kuf, which is 100, again, you bring it down to the ones column, becomes 1. A malik in mispar katan is 15, which is exactly the gematria of gaiva, the Svarim say. Because a malik is gaiva. A malik is that gaiva to say, yishli rav, I have more than you, I'm better than you. I'm doing better than you. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. But the Kli Yakar says, different pshat. Yaakov says, Yaakov Avinu says, I have everything that I could possibly need. Esav says what? Yeshli Rav, doing okay, I have a lot, I don't have everything. He's not happy. He always wants more. He's not satisfied. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Mishlei, in the 15th parak, let's learn a piece inside together. The Vilna Gaon commenting on the Pasuk, it's Mishlei 15:15. Parak Tasvav, Pasuk Tasvav. Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im. All the days of poverty are difficult. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. It's always a party. Tov lev mishteh tamid. Says the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Mishlei, Kamo she'amru chazal, Ezehu asher v'chul. Ezehu asher sameach v'chalko. How does the Vilna Gaon read the pasuk? Kol yemei ani ra'im. A person who feels I'm an ani. Be a rich person. But if you don't feel like you have everything, then you make yourself out, I'm a poor person. I don't have what I'm looking for. Ezehu had a ton. Esav was very successful. Yishli Rav, I don't have everything. Right? You complain about your life. That's a person who's going to be an ani. Because he's made himself emotionally an ani. He's made himself dependent upon the things that he desires that he doesn't have. Ve'im Kain, says the Vilna Gaon, ha'ani hu mishenafsho rechava. An ani, a poor person, is a person who has an expansive desire. I need to have everything. And if he doesn't have it, he's a bitter person. She'enu mistapik b'chol asher yeshlo. He's not happy with whatever it is that he has. The kol chaloli the alma, and the entire chalam, the entire space of the universe, lo yaspikenu b'daito, wouldn't satisfy his craving. He's a nefesh rechava. He's a taivadika person. V'lachain, what does it say about this ani? Kol yimei ani ra'im. His whole life is bad, never satisfied. Ki eino be'efshari shiasi kol cheftzo v'yamali daito. Because there's nothing that can satisfy his craving. So no matter how much he has, he's always wanting more and wanting more and wanting more. As it says in Koheles Rabbah, very powerful statement. Ein adam meis v'chatzi v'chul. What's the full sentence? A person doesn't die with even half of his desires in his hand. We always want more. Right? It's very interesting. You look at the Medrash inside. The Medrash says, a person doesn't die with half of his desires fulfilled. Right? If he has 100, he wants 200. New ask a question. So that is half. 100 is half of 200. I think. We need Sunday. Our math wasn't sure. Yeah, I think 100 is half. So why does it say a person doesn't die with half of his desires fulfilled? If he has 100, he wants 200. Right? 100 is half of 200. So if you look in the back of the Gemara, in Chulin, there's some beautiful little ha'aros in Agarata and in the Chazal from the Maharam Shif. So he says a beautiful psychological insight here. He says, you know what Chazal is saying? Chazal knew that 100 is half of 200. What it's saying is, the 100 I don't have, emotionally is worth so much more than the 100 that I do have. I'm so focused on that other half, it seems so much bigger. I have $1 million in the bank. But that second million, that would change everything. So it's not even, what you have is not even half of what you desire. So as the Vilna Gaon, the person, who again is an ani, because he always wants more, is always going to have a bad life. V'tov lev mishteh tamid. Listen. Tov lev mishteh tamid. Aval mi shemaspik mashi yeshlo. But the person who's happy with what he has, libo sameach tamid, he's like a person whose whole life is a party. Like a person who's throwing a celebration in his house. Like a person who's had something to drink. He's in a loose mood. He's comfortable. He's good. He feels good about his life. You feel that I'm richer than the king. The king might have more stuff, but I'm richer than him. I'm happier than him. I have everything. The king still wants more, but I have everything. And such a person, tov lev mishta tamid. So his whole life becomes filled with simcha. The person who's happy, his whole life's a party. The person who has a lot but is unhappy, his whole life is uneasy, he feels poor, and his whole life becomes rotten, his whole life becomes difficult and painful. Rabbi Baruch Simon, in Parshas Vayishlach, in the Sefer Imre Baruch, has a beautiful ha'ara here. Because this pasuk of Tov Lev Mishta Tamid is actually the last thing that the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in the first volume of Shulchan Aruch, in Orach Chaim. How does the Ramah begin his commentary? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Pasuk in Tehillim. How does the Ramah end his commentary? Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. Starts with Tamid and ends with Tamid. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. And how does it end? Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. So Baruch Simon says, based on this Gra, and how the Gra understands the Pasuk, what is Tov Lev Mishta Tamid? A person who is what? Who's Sameach V'chelka. The opposite of a Malik. So how does the Vilna go, how does the Ramah begin his commentary? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. If you live with the awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your life, if you place Hashem before you at all times, and you realize that you have exactly what you're supposed to have, so then Tov Lev Mishta Tamid, then you fill this Vilna Gaon. Then you become the type of person whose whole life is a party. I'm just realizing now, Rabbi Simon doesn't write this, I'm not the first one to say this, but they talk about the relationship between the Ramah, it's a deeper thing for another time, but the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, right, his comments sometimes are a response to a Malik. In this particular case, you see how it's so. That a Malik wants more and more and more, it's rooted in Esav, Yesh Li Rav, right, as opposed to Kal Yisrael Yaakov, Yesh Li Kol, I have everything. And my life's going to be Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. Because Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. As opposed to a Malik who represents Kfirah and Apikors is the rejection of God being before you. So the Sfarim say, different Tzaddikim say, and again, they present it in different ways, but it fits nicely with what we're saying now, that the Gematria of Ramah, which is really just the Rashi Tevos of Rabbi Moshe Isserles, right, is 241, which is one more than a Malik, 240. So when a person reads the Ramah, or a Chaim, the book of, you know, the first book of the Shulchan Aruch, guides you through daily life. If you understand how it starts, you understand how it ends, Reish Mem Aleph, 241, it's one more than 240, it's one more than a Malik. That's how a person is Misgaber on a Malik. When a person realizes, I'm not going to be Esav, I'm not going to be the type of person who says, I have 99%, but I have nothing. I need more, and I need more, and I need more. Ezu asher asameach b'chelka. That's the simcha of Adar. What's the pashup shot? So obviously the pashup shot in Ezu asher asameach b'chelka, the pashup shot is to be happy with what we have physically. In Gashmias. My car is good enough. I'm very happy. My house is good enough. Someone has a bigger house, a nicer car, it's okay. Someone makes a bigger paycheck, it's okay. Ezu asher asameach b'chelka. I'm happy in Gashmias with what I have. The Chafetz Chaim once said the following insight. There's a three-volume Hebrew biography of the Chafetz Chaim called Chafetz Chaim Chayav U'Pa'alal, his life and his accomplishments. And in the third volume, beautiful, the R Scroll English Chafetz Chaim biography is based on this work by Rav Moshe Meir Yosher, was his name. So he writes in the third volume a beautiful pshat from the Chafetz Chaim. Ezu asher asameach b'chelko. So the Chafetz Chaim says, let's be honest. All you have is a moldy, crusty piece of bread in your house, right? What are you sameach about? You don't have food? You have what you have. No, how can I expect to be happy in such a situation? Sameach b'chelko, and what if my chelik is terrible? What if I have a hole in my roof and it's leaking, you know, water into my bedroom and I can't afford to fix it? I'm supposed to always be happy. Question number one. Chafetz Chaim lived like that, but it's not for regular people. This Chazal wrote Pirkei Avos for normal people, not for Chafetz Chaims. And question number two, why doesn't it say, Ezehu Ashir, who is rich? A person who's sameach b'mashe yeshlo. What does it mean, sameach b'chelko? Why not b'mashe yeshlo? What does chelko mean? So the Chafetz Chaim gave a mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. He says, imagine you go to a carpenter. And you say to the carpenter, listen, you have a saw that you use to cut wood and to build the things that you build. It's beautiful. But I have a more valuable tool for you. And you give him a knife, or you give him, not a knife, you give him an instrument that's used for cutting diamonds. Now, It's a better, objectively, it's a better tool, it's a more expensive tool, it's a more precise tool, but it doesn't help the carpenter to do his job. So therefore, said the Chafetz Chaim, Ezehu Asher Asameach B'chelko. Realize that whatever you have, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, that's your chelek. Those are the tools that you need to live the life that you're supposed to live. It's not that you got mixed up with someone else and, you know, by chance you ended up with the wrong instrument. Right? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were, by the way, to trade your possessions for that other person's possessions, guess what? You'd be like a carpenter stuck with the wrong tools. And that's what it means, Ezu Asher Sameach B'chelko. It's your chelek. It was precisely given to you. And therefore, how could you not rejoice, even, says the Chafetz Chaim, if all you have is a stale piece of bread, and that's the extent of the food and drink that you have in your home. That's the Pashat Pshat in the Mishnah. Be happy with your Gashmias. And again, we see that Haman was not, we see that Esav was not, and we see that Yaakov Avinu was. And that's the type of person that we want to be, to Mizgaber on Amalek. But the Sfarim say that Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko is also true in Ruchnias. What does it mean, Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko in Ruchnias? Be happy with your spirituality. What does that mean? So I think, last Shabbos was Parsha Shkala. You give a half a shekel. You feel a big accomplishment, a half, it's not even a whole shekel. Give a whole shekel at least. A half a shekel. And yet the Torah says it's kofar nafsho. It redeems your soul. Right? Because as Jews we believe, Sameach Bechelko, whatever I'm doing in Avodas Hashem, Sameach Bechelko, in Ruchnis. Sameach Bechelko in Ruchnis. The Pri Ha'aretz, Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who passed away in the late 1700s. So in his writings on Chumash, there are letters in the back. And in letter 22, he writes an amazing thing. He says, most people think Ezu Asher Sameach Bechelko means don't be jealous of your friend's house. Don't be jealous of your friend's clothing. Don't be jealous of your friend's, new glasses. Right? Says Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, Hine klal gadol b'torah, lio sameach b'chelko, gam be'isek ha-torah, v'avoda, im'at, im'harbei. If a Jew learns one word of Torah, do we have any idea what that's worth? Could have learned more. Yeah, you could have learned more, maybe. But how could you not rejoice? You gave a half a shekel to tzedakah? It's kvaldik. Kofer nafsho. You just justified your entire existence. So says Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, one of the early Tzadikim of Chassidus, that a Jew has to be sameach in his Torah, in his avoda. If it's a lot, it's a little. Masha ein kein im einu nene v'sameach v'anefesh rotze le'anos mitayva tayva. First thing, more and more and more. So you could turn your avodas Hashem into, again, just a competition, he says, God forbid. And he writes, hinei ahuvi halo yod inish benafshe. A person needs to know himself. Lama yechvetsu begedolos. What do you want? Madregos. You want to serve God? So just do the best you can. And celebrate it. Of course, a person is supposed to be striving to be like the avos, to reach lofty levels. But afilu hachi, yesameach me'od be'esek avodaso shel achshav. Be happy with what you're doing now. So I used to learn more, and now I have less time because I have a new job, and my boss is more demanding, or my family is growing. Baruch Hashem. And when I was in yeshiva, I used to learn more. Right? Or a couple of years ago, my job allowed me, a longer lunch break, and I used to learn daf yomi. Now I can't do that. All I can learn are too much nights. Sameach bechelko. Be happy you got to learn Hashem's Torah. It's kavaldik. Be happy with your avoda right now. Again, strive for greatness, but be happy with where you are right now. Uvesimcha shel mitzvah zu yiska legedula mimenu. When a person appreciates it, then he'll. That's godless. Godless is a Jew who realizes I learn a little bit of Torah. That's a great thing. V'im yomar, and if he'll say to himself, where's Torah? Where's the mitzvah? She'ein lo klum, I have nothing. Ze'ino, it's not true. V'halo poshe Yisrael, melei mitzvos karimon. Paraphrasing the Gemara, in Chagiga, that even the sinners of the Jewish people, right, inadvertently, they're filled with mitzvos. Jews do good things. We're good people. That's the way Hashem programmed us. Baruch Hashem. So even a sinner amongst Chal Yisrael is filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate. So why is he called a sinner? If he's so full of mitzvos, so why does it say the sinners of Israel are filled with mitzvos? He's filled with mitzvos. He's a tzaddik, no? So he says, no. Aval eino sameach v'nena mimenu. You know why? You know why he's got Rasha? Because his perspective is all wrong. He doesn't appreciate what he's accomplishing. And God forbid a Jew goes through life always feeling down about himself in his avodas Hashem. Masha ein ken kishe yismach b'maisav yihi kvod Hashem la'olam. When a Jew celebrates every mitzvah that he does, then that mamish gives kavod to a Kaddish Baruch Hu for now and forever. I want to share another letter from the Sefer Avodas Pnim. Avodas Pnim was a Slonimer Chassid who lived in Tveria about a generation ago, and he writes one of his letters, in letter 43. In letter 43, someone must have written it to him. It sounds from the tone of his letter like the person was ready to commit suicide and give up on their life. And they wrote to this Slonimer Chassid, Rav Aaron Luria was his name, and it was from this time of the year. It was from Adar, Chodesh Adar. Right? Everyone's so happy, and this guy was so depressed. So in 1964, he wrote this letter to this holy Yid from Tveria. So he writes back to him, Bitzar karasias michtav, with great pain I read your letter. Al godel shivrich, at shabasali de yeyosh, you're so broken, you're to the point of despair. Amnam lo havanti mashakasafta, but I don't understand the words you wrote. Ki ein lacha maisim, asher kedai od lechayos ba'olam hazavura. You don't do things in this world that it's worth it for you to be alive anymore. How can a Jew talk like that? And he quotes an unbelievable line from the Rebbe of Kalisk, the Kalisk, Rabbi Avram Kalisker. Halo atta meniach tefillin b'chol yom. He writes to this Jew, you put on tefillin every day, don't you? You're ready to give up on your life? Do you realize what it means to put on tefillin every day? Do you realize what Rav Avram Kalisker, who lived around the same time as Rav Mendel of Vitebsk, late 1700s, he lived a little bit later, into the 1800s, Rav Avram Kalisker said to an old Jew one time, who was complaining, my life didn't turn out to be very much. Amar lezakin echad, sha'amar lo shu kotz b'chaim. An elderly Jew complained to Rav Avram Kalisker that my life's very difficult. I'm disgusted by my life. I don't appreciate what I've done in this world. V'amr lo, so Rav Avram Kalisker said to him, Shota, you're a fool. Kedai l'chios shmonim shana. It's kedai for a person to live 80 years in this world, ba'olam haza, kedai lahaniach tefillin pam echad. It's worth it for a person to live 80 years in this world, a bitter, difficult life, of not making parnas, of not having nachas from your children, of not having X, Y, and Z, to put on tefillin one time. Ezu asher sameach b'chalka. A Jew has to look at his ruchnias, not only his gashmias, but again, a deeper level of Ezu Asher Sameach B'chalko, the Simcha of Adar, is a Jew, again, not being like a Malik, not only in Gashmias, but in Ruchnias. A Malik wanted everything. Haman wanted everything. He wasn't satisfied. A Jew says, 80 years of a difficult life, I put on tefillin one time, I should be B'Simcha Gedol. I should mamish be smiling all day. But let's go even more specifically. Maybe Ezu Asher Sameach B'chalko is talking about one's Chelek in Torah. We talk like that, right? We talk about a Chelek in Torah. Forget Ruchnias in general. Maybe the simcha of a Jew is one's chelek in Torah. Mishenichlas Adar, the month where Kimu v'Kiblu, the Jews re-accepted the Torah, Ezu Asher Semech b'chalto, right? V'sein chalkenu b'sor asecha. Like we say in the davening on Shabbos, like we say at the end of Shemon Esrei, every Shemon Esrei. V'sein chalkenu b'sor asecha. You know where that phrase comes from? Where is that actually found? It's actually a Mishnah, surprisingly, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In the fifth parak, all of a sudden, one of the Tanaim is speaking about several different things, and all of a sudden he throws in, Yihi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetibaneh ircha b'mehera b'yameinu. Right, we say Beis HaMikdash, okay, you should rebuild your holy city quickly in our days. V'sein chalkeinu b'sorasecha. We should be zochet to our chelek in Torah. What exactly is this idea of a chelek in Torah? How does that work? How do you find your chelek in Torah? Right? Maybe that's what we're rejoicing. Yishnechaz adar marbin b'simcha. Maybe the chelek that we're celebrating in Adar is our chelek in Torah. Adar is a time of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu would give us the Torah. The Ger Rebbe said was born in Adar. Adar is this man of a celebration of Torah. So what does it mean to be sameach bechelko bechelkenu, sein chelkenu b'sor secha? What are we asking for every day? What are we davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for? In 1953, shortly after Lubavitch Rebbe became Rebbe, we have a volume from him, some of his writings from that period, from 1953, called the Toras Menachem. Different gatherings that took place at that time. And the Rebbe probably said then, and it was written up, right, what is this Lashon of Vesein Chalkenu? He quotes this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What is this Vesein Chalkenu B'Sorasech? What's our Chelek in this world? So he says, a Chelek in this world, your Chelek means your place in the world. So what does it mean that our Chelek in this world should be B'Sorasech? Vesein Chalkenu, my place in the world should be the place of Torah. It just means I should learn Torah. What does that mean? So the Rebbe explained, there's a difference between Torah and mitzvos. He says, mitzvos, a person has to struggle over to do, right? I don't have tefillin. So I need to find an animal. I need to shech the animal. I need to make tefillin out of its hide. It's a big process. It's a whole struggle, the Rebbe says. It's a melchama. He calls it a melchama. He says, Torah is like a king. The Gemara even says, Man Malki, who are the kings? The rabbis. People learn a lot of Torah, that's a king. Why? Because a king doesn't have to do anything. The king just says something and it gets done. He tells people what to do and it happens. The king doesn't have to make his own breakfast. He tells the head chef what he wants for breakfast and it arrives. Right? Normally when it comes to mitzvot, we have to work at it. We have to purchase it, we have to work at it, we have to prepare it. When it comes to Torah, all we have to do is, like a king, we just command, we speak. So what does it mean, V'sein chalkenu b'sorasecha? Says the Rebbe in the Toras Menachem, again from 1953, he says, what does that mean? Bechol haTorah, in the entirety of the Torah. The Torah contains, again, my chelek, he says, means my place in the world. Chalkenu b'sorasecha means I should come to my place in the world the same way that I come to Torah. What does that mean? Kol inyan b'makom hamatim lo. Right, that everything has its place in my life. It's all found in the Torah. So when I try to when I identify my chelek in Torah as it corresponds to things in my life, as I yachol levaro beofen habirur shel Torah. Once I have that clarity of my chelik in the world, then just like Torah, all I have to do is say the words to make the magic happen. I don't have to actually do anything. So when I have a clarity in my life, I'm able to get my life together much more easily. And therefore, with the Torah perspective, says the Rebbe, a person is able to find their place in this world very easily. And that's what we ask for. If I can find my place in the Torah, then I can find my place more easily in the world. Some people spend their whole life, they're struggling, trying to find themselves. Learn more Torah, find your place in Torah, and you'll find your place in the world. And it won't be such a struggle. And that's something we daven for every single day. That my life, my chelek in the world, should come to me with the same clarity, with the same ease that, again, a person who speaks words of Torah creates a spiritual reality. So maybe that's the simcha of Chodesh Adar. Yishnech les Adar marbin besimcha, eizu asher sameach bechelko. What's my chelek? My chelek in Torah. But all this was hakdama. With 18 minutes left, we could bake a matzah, or we could actually have the shir. So we're going to have the shir. Yeah? This was all hakdama, because I don't think any of this is the real pshat. In Mishnech Nas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Eizu Asher Samech Bechelko. What's a Jew's biggest chelik? Not chelko my gashmias, not chelko my ruchnias, not even my specific chelik in Torah. What's the ultimate chelik of a yid? What's a Jew's true chelik in this world? The true chelik of a Jew is a pasuk in Iyov. That every Jew is, not only has, but is, as Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky likes to say, I don't have a neshama, I am a neshama. Right? A person doesn't have a neshama, I have a body. I am a neshama. That's who I am. It's my identity. What's the true chelek of a Jew in this world? The pasuk in Iyov says, chelek eloka mima'al. The way the Baal Tanya uses it in the second parak of Tanya. That every Jew is imbued with a chelek, a piece of the divine from on high. And the Baal Tanya says that that's not a joke. Tanya writes in the second parak, v'nefesh hashenis b'Yisrael. We have an animalistic soul. True. Everyone has that. Animals also have some type of animalistic soul. Everyone in the world has that soul. There's a lower level soul. But then, says the Baal Tanya, v'nefesh hashenis b'Yisrael, but a Jew has a higher level soul. He chelek eloka mima'al mamish. It's literally, it's a contradiction of terms, but it's literally a piece of, actually it's not a piece, kind of a piece of God. But it's literally a chelek, it's a piece of Hashem that's inside of you. Your neshama is kiviyachol, a piece of God. Kamosha kasuv v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. God blew into Adam, and by extension to all people, a spirit of life. And the Tanya says, Va'ata nafach debi, like we say in the morning, Elokai Nitzur, Hashem, you blew my spirit into me. So says the Kabbalistic Svarim, Man din nafach, one who blows, mitoche nafach, blows from within. I give over my life, I give over my breath, my life. Hashem gave us a piece of himself, perish, mitoche yuso mipnim yuso. Hashem gave us a chelek of himself. Shetoche yuso pnimis hachiyas sheba adam, When you blow out, so that blows life into something. Hashem gave us, says the Baal Tanya, a piece of himself, our neshama. A chelek eloka mima. And that's something to celebrate. What's our chelek? The chelek of a yid in this world is his neshama. It was pashut to me that this is the pshat in Ezu Asher Asmeach Bechelko. It's the deepest pshat. And I saw in the writings of another one of the tzaddikim, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kosov, he said this pshat. He says, Chelko, Sameach Bechelko means Sameach B'Nishmasa. To be happy with your neshama. To be happy with the essential part of yourself, which is you. And again, it could be a chelek, it could seem like a small piece, but a small piece of God is infinite. A small piece of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is forever. And therefore, it's our job to what? In the month of Adar, to appreciate the fact that I'm a Jew. To look at the neshama, the etzem, the essence of who I am, and to remind myself that even when on the outside the Jewish people are in a very low state, as Fas Emeth points out, Laihudim Haisa Ora Vesimcha Vesasun Vikars, the Gemara Darshans, Ora Zu Torah. Laihudim Haisa Ora, now they have Torah, they didn't have Torah before. Fas Emeth says, no. The Jews at this period, pretty weak, they didn't have Torah. Ora Simcha Sasun, Simcha is Yom Tov, and Sasun is Mila, and Vikar is Tfilin. We weren't wearing tefillin. We weren't giving our kids bris milah. Jews were in a bad place. Haman wanted to kill us, and he was pretty close. Hashem almost signed off it. HaMelech, not just the Melech in the Megillah, Hashverosh, but the Melech in Shemayim was thinking about it. But the celebration of Chodesh Adar is, of course, that nothing actually happened. And why didn't anything happen? Because even when a Jew on the outside is completely falling apart, as the Jews in the times of Purim perhaps were, Nana misudas al shachas, as the Svarim say, they didn't just go to the party. Nana, they enjoyed the party. They were having a good time there because they felt at home there. Except for Mordechai, who's running around trying to run his own kitchen at the party. That's what the Gemara almost says, and that's what the Sfarim say. Right? He was one of the... Mordechai and Haman were running the party. Mordechai's there trying to make sure the Jews at least eat kosher food. So he's the Mashgiach, but they can care less. They don't need a Mashgiach. They're not interested in a Mashgiach. Like, who the Maisa Ora? They got back Torah afterwards. They got back Mila. They got back Yom Tov, Tefillin. They were falling apart. But the celebration of Purim is the realization that a Yid who's falling apart on the outside has a chelek elokah mimah, has an infinite piece of a Kodesh Baruch Hu inside of himself. Ezu asher asamech bechelka, bechelek elokah mimah. He was a beautiful tzaddik. He wasn't blessed with any children, but he went through the war. His name was Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner, very fascinating Jew. He was a mashgiach in the Chedushei Arim Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in Tel Aviv at the time. A ger chassid. Amazing stories about him during the Holocaust, during the war. And he had thousands of talmidim. Again, he wasn't blessed with children of his own, but he had many, many talmidim. Very, very special Jew. There's a volume that they have of some of his teachings, some of his ideas, biographical stuff as well, called Mesilos God, Pathways of God. What's his name? God Eisner. Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. So he tells an amazing story here. He says that one time he was in Lodz after the war, and all of a sudden this Jew walks in and he's dressed like a farmer. He's dressed like a farmer. Now there was another tzaddik who he was with at the time who people were coming to visit. Sheyigil lachapis as Rabbi Yosef Meir. He was coming to visit this Rabbi Yosef Meir. He was a chashuv yid at that time. Rabbi Yosef Meir Zedel. So this Jew, this farmer Jew, came in. Yeah? And all of a sudden, this farmer Jew calls out, Ich bin a chassidische junger man. I'm a chassidische yid. I'm a chassidische avrich. You don't look like a chassidische avrich. And he introduces himself. He says, yeah, my name is Manis Kalischer. Oh, shalom aleichem. Right? I said, oh yeah, you learned in yeshiva. All of a sudden they reconnected. He's dressed like a farmer, but he's a chassidus shayid. So Rav Gadol Eisner saw this funny scene. Never saw a chassidus shayid who looked like a farmer on the outside. And he said, wow, what a gevaldic insight. He says, Rav Gadol, shibchu, he praised the situation of Amr. Shemizeh, efshar liros, mahu lios, chassidus a younger man. From here we see what it means to really be a chassidus a younger man, a chassidus shayid, b'mohustu v'etzem. Who cares if you're wearing a strimal if you're just like a farmer, honestly? Okay, I know there's minhagim, and they're also based on holy things. But who really cares when you look at that? You can have the longest pace in the world. Right? If you're not chassidus shayid on the inside, then who cares? So you're fooling yourself and you're fooling everyone else. Afshanirahu klapei chutz ke'ike, or you can look like a farmer on the outside. Mukhracha mitmikmi. I'm not sure what that word is. He says it doesn't matter if you look like a farmer on the outside. Ulam hishmiya amira zos ba'ozu v'pshitas. And yet this pashut of farmer on the outside, he was saying, I'm a chassidus shaman. I know who I am on the inside. That's what a Jew experiences on Purim. The reminder that the chelek elokam yimal inside of a Jew, that's what matters most. And Rav Gudel says, that's what a chassidus shayid is. That's what an emistic a Jew is. Who cares how we dress on the outside? What do you think the whole Indian of the Purim costumes are? I don't care if you're a banana, or you're Superman, yeah, or you're Lady Gaga. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter what you are on the outside. The bottom line is on the inside, you have a chelek elokam yimal. And that's something that a Jew celebrates. I remember 7 years ago on Purim, we were going around as our family delivering Mishloach Manos, and our daughter Zahava was about maybe 2.5 at the time, as old as our little Yaakov today. And I remember we stopped at a particular house. It was getting late in the day. We had a lot of places to still go. We were in a big rush. My wife went in with our oldest daughter at the time, a couple years older, probably 5 years old at the time. And I was sitting in the car with Zahava, and she's sitting in her car seat. And she's crying. She kept saying, it's in Purim. And also, I'm thinking in a Purim way. She keeps saying, Daddy, I want to go inside. I want to go inside, Daddy. Daddy, it's not fair. I want to go inside. And I said, oh, Daddy, I want to go in. I turned to her bonus. I said, Daddy, Avinu Shemashamayim, I want to go inside. I want to be an insider. I want to be a Jew who understands that I have a chelek elokam yimal inside of myself. And that's the most important thing in the world. There's two versions of a conversation with the Vilna Gaon. One version goes that the Vilna Gaon was asked, how does Hashem fulfill the Mishnah? Hashem practices what he preaches. So if Chazal preach, Ezo Asher Sameach Bechalko, so how is the Kadosh Baruch Hu Sameach Bechalko? What's Hashem's Chalko? What's Hashem's Chelek? So the Vilna Gaon said, who's Hashem's Chelek? Who's Hashem's Chelek? Tzadikim. Right? And Hashem is happy, even though Halavai, there should be more Tzadikim. There are true Tzadikim, few and far between. But Hashem, just like a person who could use a few more dollars in his bank account, or a few more mitzvos in his bank account, has to try the best to be Sameach Bechalko. Hashem says, I could use a few more tzaddikim, but I have a chelek. You know? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I got the Stuchina Rebbe, I got people around the world, I got a couple people still left. So Kodesh Baruch Hu's happy. That's one version of the, that's one nusach. In the Sefer Hamor HaGadol, quoting from one of the people who actually knew the Vilna Gaon. There's another version that the Chafetz Chaim brings in a footnote in Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah, the Parshas Hazinu. Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, it says in the Medrash Tana Debei Eliyahu that Hashem is happy with his chaylak. What does that mean? Same question. A little bit of a different nusach, but same question. How does God celebrate his chaylak? And the Vilna Gaon gave a very different answer this time. The first answer is very sad. Hashem celebrates a couple of tzaddikim and everyone else is, Hashem, you know, he smiles even though he's not so happy. The second answer, the Vilna Gaon said to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, his Talmud, Hashem celebrates with his chaylak. You know what Hashem's chaylak is? Klal Yisrael. What does the pasuk say? Ki chaylak Hashem. What's Hashem's chaylak? Amo. Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael. Am means the simple Jews. So why is Hashem so happy with his chaylak? Ki chaylak Hashem amo. He loves every Jew. He loves the entire nation. Some Jews are better. Some Jews are not as good. The first shot, in some ways, makes more sense. Right? How do you reconcile these two gruz? Hashem likes tzaddikim or Hashem likes every Jew? The answer is v'amei chulam tzaddikim. On the outside, sometimes we're farmers and sometimes we're giant hot dogs and we're walking around Purim dressed like a bear. Yeah. I always tell this story. Someone once came to shul like a bear and we're standing next to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. You imagine? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he's davening mincha and he sees the bear standing next to him. This guy dressed up like a bear. Right? So Rav Yaakov said to me after davening, the pasuk says you should prepare. Hichon, right? Hichon, prepare yourself before talking to God. So Rav Yaakov looks at this Jew, dressed up like a bear, shuckling away, you know, sachlanu. And Rav Yaakov says to me after Shmuel, he says, it looks like you're lacking a little bit in Hichon Lekras Elokech Yisrael. You're not exactly prepared for Mincha, but okay, that's how Jews show up on Purim. There's a tshuva, I think, from Rav Vosner, from Bnei Brak Zatzal, about whether it's appropriate to come to Shul dressed up like a clown on Purim or not. Right? But the panemius of it, again, I'm not talking in Halacha right now, but the panemius of the idea is what? Is that I could care less what I look like on the outside. Mishenechnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. What's the Simcha? What's my chelek? Ki chelek Hashem Amo. I'm part of Hashem's people. I have the stamp of a Kodesh Baruch Hu on my heart. Amalek comes to Klal Yisrael in Parshas Beshalach. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek comes and attacks Klal Yisrael. What happens a second before that? What's the pasuk right before Vayavo Amalek, which we read on Purim? The Kriyas HaTorah for Purim. What happens half a line before that? A very strange pasuk. The same Jews who saw open miracles in Mitzrayim ask the following question. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Is God amongst us or not? You have a suffix. It wasn't clear to you? How long ago was Kriyas Yamsuf? Zeke Levan Ve. You were pointing to God. Whatever that even means, Rashi says. You saw all the miracles in Mitzvah. What's the question? You're not sure? Hayesh, I don't know. Is God still amongst us? Is he still like us? Is he not with us? Is he with us? I learned a piece in Yeshiva today from the Shvilei Pinchas. Beautiful explanation. Question, is God going to be with us in Teva the same way he's with us in supernatural ways? But Amalek gets us to ask the question, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayin. You know what the real question is? At least one way to learn it? The question that Klai Yisrael were grappling with was, fine, Hashem is out there, and Hashem is even down here in our lives. But Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, mamish, b'kirbeinu, this week's parsha, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, I want to dwell inside you. Is Hashem mamish within us? B'kirbeinu. So what's the answer to that question? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Is God with us or not? What's the answer? We have to know how to answer the question. The answer is what? Hayesh Hashem or Ein Hashem? The answer is Yesh Hashem. The Chaban, one of the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, a very unique tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, the Chaban, as he's known, the milkman. The Chaban writes in his Sefer, what's the gematria of Yesh Hashem? If we answer the question properly. What's the gematria of Yesh Hashem? Yesh is 310. Hashem is 26. Yesh Hashem is 336. 336 is gematria Purim. On Purim we answer the question. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu ayin, Yesh Hashem. Yes, Yesh Hashem, gematria Purim. But I'll add a beautiful remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me to think of a couple years ago. Tavshin Ayin Vav. B'kirbeinu. The gematria of the word b'kirbeinu, I believe is 338. It's the same gematria as chelek eloka mimah. Ezu asher asamech b'chelka. What chelek are we celebrating? The chelek eloka mimah. That's the b'kirbeinu. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who dwells inside of us. We have so much to be happy about. The Chazon Ish one time saw a Jew after Sukkot and he said, "No, how was Yom Tov?" Didn't answer right away. So the Chazon Ish grabs him. This is brought in the Sefer Mar B'Chaim. He grabbed him. He starts shaking him. He says, "You said Atav v'chartanu mikol ha'amim over Yom Tov. How could you not answer that question? You were selected, a tiny percentage of humanity selected to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's people. We don't understand that. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Yeah, the answer is Yesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. Yes. Why? I don't know. Chazon Ish, like you said, atavachartanu mikol ha'amim. How could you not be happy? The Mar B'chaim, Rav Chaim Brim, he says there was a tzaddik, I didn't recognize the name, who came into the Beis Medrash the day after elections in America. And this is a tzaddik who was like a little bit, you know, beyond this world. He probably didn't vote in the elections. Okay. Different tzaddikim, different hanagos. Some tzaddikim like to dafka vote. Some tzaddikim say it's all in the hands of Hashem. Whatever. So this tzaddik came in, and before davening, he was usually careful not to talk before davening. That morning, he's very busy walking around asking, who won the election? Who won the election? Rabbi, since when do you care who won the election? As if it matters to you. As if you know anything about the politics anyways. Why do you care about who won the election? So he said, and I hope you'll take this the right way, because we have to be proud Jews. He said, because this morning, when I say the bracha that we say every morning, Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani Goy doesn't mean that as a Jew, I'm prouder, right, than some low-life Gentile who lives a life of hedonism. Shalom Asani Goy means I pick a person, a distinguished person, hopefully the president is a distinguished person, a person of character, a person of authority, right, a person who's looked up to, hopefully, by his fellow American citizens, and I say to myself, but I have something that the president doesn't have. Even with Air Force One, I have something that he doesn't have. And what is that? That's the Chelek Elokam Mimal that Kodesh Baruch Hu stamped upon us. I want to just be Messiah. I want to read a quote from Ben Stein. Ben Stein is a writer, he's a lawyer, he's an actor, he's a political analyst. He talks about the economy, he does a lot of things. And he's a Jew. He's a Jew. And I think this will resonate, unfortunately, tragically, a little bit more in light of the terrible shooting that took place this week. This was something that he wrote. It was an email that he sent. And he read it on CBS, in the CBS Sunday morning commentary. He got up and he read this. Okay? And it should resonate with us as proud Jews who stand up to a malik. I'll tell you quickly. We have a minion from Arav. How many people want to daven Arav in 4 minutes? Hopefully, maybe. You guys all davened? Okay, I'm cutting it close. Okay, maybe we'll grab one more Jew. The Kedusha Slavi. No, I can't. There's not going to be time. I don't know if it's for Suffolk minion. Okay, I'll save the Kedusha Slavi. So Ben Stein said the following. Listen to this. My confession. Ben Stein. I don't like getting pushed around for being a Jew, and I don't think Christians like getting pushed around for being Christians. I think people who believe in God are sick and tired of getting pushed around, period. I have no idea where the concept came from that America is an explicitly atheist country. I can't find it in the Constitution, and I don't like it being shoved down my throat. Or maybe I can put it another way. Where did the idea come from that we should worship celebrities and we aren't allowed to worship God as we understand Him? I guess that's a sign that I'm getting old too. But there are a lot of us who are wondering where these celebrities came from and where the America we knew went to. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world is going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes, in quotes, through email and they spread like wildfire, but when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and the workplace. Are you laughing yet? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to many on your address list, because you're not sure what they believe, or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than God thinks of us. Pass it on if you think it has any merit. If not, then just discard it. No one will know you did. But if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. My best regards, honestly and respectfully, Ben Stein. A Yid who says, the world's crazy out there. Right? But a Jew who looks deep inside of himself, it says, I have a chelek elokam imal. I've been stamped with a divine mission to try to make the world better. I'm sometimes also a mess on the outside. Right? But if I can come back to what I believe at my core, the values that every American once believed when they stamped on our dollar bills in God we trust, if we can come back to our core, if we can come back to that simcha, of recognizing who we are on the inside, right? Then it spills over outside. And then that outside, which on Purim is so crazy, starts to become more refined. And it starts to look a little bit more like Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when a Jew is dressed in white, and the world is pure, and a Jew believes that there's hope for the new year, it's a different perspective. Mordechai wasn't going to sit by as the whole world was falling apart. Mordechai said, I will never bow down to Haman. I don't care what the political environment is. I don't care about anything. Mordechai says, I'm a Jew. I have a chelek elokam imal. I make shalom asani goy in the morning. Not with a sense of disregard for Gentiles, but with a sense of deep pride of the obligation and responsibility that Hashem has passed on to each and every one of us. There was a tzaddik who passed away, and everyone said he was a tzaddik nistar. And when Rabbi Saul Salanter caught word of this, and they said, oh, the tzaddik nistar passed away, Rabbi Saul Salanter said, if he was a nistar, then he wasn't a tzaddik. Rabbi Saul Salanter. If he was a nistar, if he was a hidden tzaddik, then he's not a tzaddik in our times. There's no such thing as hidden tzaddikim in our times. We need Jews who are going to stand up and be proud. We don't have time for Jews to hide their great levels. Get out there and teach Jews how to be Jews. Teach the world how to be more refined. Take pride. Be besimcha. Mishenichnas Adar. Mishenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. When Adar enters you, as the Sfasamah says, Mishenichnas Adar. When Adar enters you, right, and you recognize that simcha, that deep joy that a Jew has in this world, then hopefully it spills over to the entire universe. And a person sameach bechelko beemes in the chelak alakam imam. I want to end with a quote from Rabbi Nachman and just one little remes. Rabbi Nachman writes in the Sichos Aram, Ashreinu, Shashem Yisbarach Heitiv Imanu Ma'od, Shezachinu Lekedushas Yisrael. How lucky we are, how fortunate we are, that for some strange reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us His chelak, Ki chelak Hashem Amo. We're zochet to Kedushas Yisrael. Va'amar sheyesh lo simcha gedola, al shezachal li'os be'eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman says, Eretz Yisrael, it's a segula, we don't understand it. You feel different there. A Jew carries a secret inside of himself or herself. It's an unbelievable depth, a kedusha, that we ourselves don't even understand. Rabbi Nachman said, when all the struggles in life come my way, I think, I meditate, I reflect on that simcha that I feel of just being a Jew. As the Torah says in several places, segula mikol ha'am. Segula mikol ha'am is exactly gematria simcha. Because when a Jew looks at the segula inside of himself, the chelek eloka mimal, the gematria bikirbeinu, and he answers that question on Purim, Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu am'ayin. And he answers it proudly and confidently, I have a lot to celebrate in this world. Because Baruch Hashem, I'm part of that unique mission to try to bring the Geula. So then a Jew becomes Segula Mikol Ha'am. And he celebrates that Simcha. And he feels uplifted. And then it's a true kiyum of Ezehu Asher HaSameach B'chachim. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zoche this Adar to truly feel what it means to be Simcha Dika Jews. Shkoyach in G'Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem, next week, Purim Shir again. We'll daven Ma'ariv now.